I trust that you've been reading the book of Ruth. And if you haven't, we'll be leaving the book of Ruth after the sermon next week. So today we're going to talk about Ruth, the chosen of God. Amazing thing when we find out a little bit later what a terrible place Moab was. This is our third message from the book of Ruth. I trust that you have been reading this delightful book and been blessed by it. At least you should read it once a week, if not twice a week. We've looked at Elimelech the father, who decided because of what was going on in Judea, the great famine that was there, that he would move his family from Judea to Moab. I don't know if he understood what a place Moab was like, but man, that's like going from the fire into the from the hot pan into the fire. Because he trusted God when things were hard for them in Judea, his decision was to take his wife and two sons and move to Moab. There he and his two sons died. Amazing thing. What we see here is God working to bring about his desire and his plan for Ruth. His widow Naomi must have been a tremendous Christian because she had such a fantastic influence on her daughters-in-law. And in the end, she called Ruth her daughter. So that relationship continued to grow and grow and grow. Naomi just simply remained faithful even though they moved to Moab. She remained faithful to God and showed his love to both of her daughters-in-law and taught them about the Lord, or they would not have been so desirous of going with her back to Judea. When she decided to return to Judea, Ruth determined to go with her. There was no way that she was going to be uninfluenced to go back to Moab. Now, her sister did go back to Moab, kind of under difficult circumstances, but she did go back to Moab. Back home, Naomi expressed the emotions she had felt. She kind of blamed God that she was without a husband, without her sons, that all she had was her daughters-in-law. And that was a blessing in all reality. But when she returned home to Judea and her friends began to talk to her and find out that she had lost her family. And in those days, if you had a husband and children, especially sons, you were considered A-okay. Daughters, that was a question. But they were. Today we don't have that kind of thing. Daughters are just as important as sons. But everybody wants a son somewhere along the way. So Naomi expressed her emotions. She found it difficult to express those emotions. But in all reality, she blamed God for the loss of her family. She had none of those things that made her acceptable in that culture in that day. We've all experienced some of those times, and we wonder why God didn't appear to help us. Sometimes he does and sometimes he doesn't, but what we want to understand is that God is always working. And we see him working here in the book of Ruth to bring about Ruth as the grandmother of David. There's only two books in the Bible named after females. That's the book of Ruth and the book of Esther. And both of them are worth a lot of time reading. because of the influence and the ministry of Ruth and the ministry and influence of Esther on the nation of Israel. The entire book of Ruth, I don't know how many times you may have read it, but if you read it carefully, you can see God working even in the loss of Elimelech and the two sons. God was working things out after the counsel of his own will to bring about the fact that Ruth would be in the lineage of the Lord Jesus Christ. To accomplish that, God needed Elimelech to move to Moab. He needed Naomi to talk about and live for the one true God, and she certainly did that. And that's why the daughters-in-law didn't want to go back to Moab. They wanted to go with Ruth because she had taught them pretty thoroughly about the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Even though she was bitter, when she returned home, she said, my name is no longer Naomi, which means pleasant. My name is Mara, which means bitterness. And she said, I've lost everything. I don't have what I really need to be acceptable in the culture of Israel. But you've got to keep in mind that God is working all things out together for good. He's still working out plans in all of our lives. We may have difficulty. We may lose a loved one. We may have sickness. We may have the doctor say, you've got cancer, or whatever. And you got to remember that God is still at work. It's been appointed unto men once to die, and then the evaluation. So we're all going to go that way. But how we're going to go, we don't know for sure. You are here because God has worked in your life. Otherwise, you wouldn't be here. I believe that with all my heart. God works, and we are to respond. Let's see what we can learn from Ruth today. I think we can learn a great deal from what happened with Ruth. Here's what the scripture says in Ruth, the first chapter, verses 4 and 5. Elimelech, Naomi's husband, died. And she was left with her two sons. They married Moabite women. And as we find out what Moabite was like, that's an amazing statement. She named Orpah. One was named Orpah and the other Ruth. After they had lived there about 2 years, both Mahlon and Chilion also died. Her two sons passed away. And Naomi was left without her two sons and her husband. From Ruth, the first chapter, verses 4 through 6. Remember, the book of Ruth is about God working. I don't want you to forget that. Everything that you read in the book of Ruth is God at work. And think about that in your own life. The difficulties that you have. You go to the doctor, and the doctor says you have this, this, and this, and we're going to have to put you on this kind of medication and that kind of medication. Just keep in mind that God is at work in your life. Doesn't make any difference what's going on. God is at work in your life. Just as he was working through Naomi and what she was able to teach those two girls. Moab was a cursed nation. I want you to remember that. How Elimelech decided to go from Judea, where there was a famine, to Moab is like jumping from the frying pan into the fire. That was a terrible, terrible place. If you read about it in Scripture, they were a very heathen nation. They were very wicked. They were a heartless people. They worshipped many false gods. You could take your pick. one or two or a dozen. They had many false gods, and their religious practices included gross immorality, immorality that we can't even imagine today. If we tried to imagine what went on with their gross immorality, I don't think that we could come to a conclusion as to what it was really all about. The Israelites were to have no relationship with the Moabites. I find that very interesting because that's where Elimelech decided to go. And yet it was against what Israel said. No relationship to the Moabites because of their evil nature. But both of Elimelech and Naomi's sons went there. And Naomi's sons married Moabite women. I think it's hard for us to imagine what those women came from. They were raised in this gross culture, a terrible culture. And yet the two boys married Moabite women. Our human minds can't refrain from asking the question, why did you want a woman from such a wicked nation to be in the lineage of the Lord Jesus Christ? Why did you want that? I think there's an answer. I believe that Jesus Christ wanted us to know his great love. No matter how evil you might be, how much evil you come from, God wants us to know that he loves us. And he wanted them to know that he loved them. Our human minds have a little difficulty there because they disobeyed God. You're not supposed to have anything to do with the Moabites, and yet Elimelech went to a Moabite culture, which was very, very evil. And the boys married Moabite women. And I believe Ruth is one of the only two women who have a book in the Bible named after them. That would be Ruth and the book of Esther. Ruth is one of four women mentioned in the Gospel of Matthew, who is in the lineage of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I believe those women are there because God wants us to know that he isn't a respecter of persons. He doesn't respect a male more than a female. He loves males just as much as he loves females and vice versa. So keep that in mind as you read through the book of Ruth. God is working things out after the counsel of his own will. I believe that God chose Ruth to show us the wonder of his great love. It's hard for us to understand the love of God. He can take Elimelech. The two sons can die. God isn't angry. God isn't trying to be nasty. He's trying to do things after the counsel of his own will. Because somehow he has to get Ruth from the Moabite culture into Israel, into what was going on in Bethlehem of Judea, so that she could be in the lineage of the Lord Jesus Christ. And if that requires the death of Elimelech and the two sons, that's the way it is. He sees death different than we do. He knows that those three people, if they loved the Lord, they were going to be in heaven with him. And it would be a much better place than living in Moabite, that's for sure. I believe that God chose Ruth to show us the wonder of his love. Do we really understand that? We look out on the world in which we live and we see a lot of stuff going on. But we must never forget that God loves us and that God loves every creature he has made, including the illegals. They are human beings, and God loves them too. What's going to happen with all of that, I don't know. I'm not making any predictions. But I do know that God still loves them. And I know that some of them are murderers. I know that some do some very bad things. But I tell you what, God loves everybody. And he wants everybody to be saved. He wants everybody to know that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. For the nation of Israel, he gave them wealth. He gave them kings. He gave them land. He took good care of them. And God would give his only begotten Son, not only for the nation of Israel, but for all people everywhere. God intended for his love to be known throughout the whole world, not just in Israel. It seemed like that's what the Israelites thought, that they are the only ones who should have access to the person of Jesus Christ. The answer to why God chose Ruth, God chose Ruth to show us the wonder of his deep love. We are kind of like the Moabites ourselves. We are Gentiles and sinners, every last one of us. There's no exception to that. We have no hope except through Jesus Christ. We rejoice that God chose Ruth because it is a beautiful picture that God also chooses us. If he could choose Ruth, coming from that evil place of Moabite, he can choose us no matter what kind of a background we've come from. And some of you have come from pretty good background. In my home, everybody said, "You're the wrong one to be a pastor. It should be your brother." And my brother was much more calm, much more, how do I want to say that, much more likely to be a friend of people than what I was. I learned to be more friendly. But he died at age 59. God was working again. When I was really hurt when I lost my brother. That's the only sibling I had. And God took him at an early age. So here again, you have to look at that and say, God is still working all things out after the counsel of his own will. So we have another passage of scripture from Ruth, the first chapter, verses 16 through 19. This is the one I want, 16 through 17. Here's Naomi trying to persuade her girls to go back to their homes in Moabite. Ruth replied to Naomi, "Do not urge me to leave you or turn back from following you, for where you go, I will go. And where you lodge, I will lodge. Your people shall be my people and your God my God. When you die, I will die. And there I will be buried, just like you are buried." So we see the influence of Naomi on those daughters-in-law. Why the other one decided to go back, Ruth kept telling her, Naomi kept telling her, "Go back to your own." That's like sending you back to hell. But I think that she had heard enough from Naomi that she understood that she needed to worship the true God, and that she had to guard herself against the culture of Moab. Whether that's true or not, we can only make some suppositions. Your God, those are interesting statements. Your God will be my God. I'm not going to pay any attention to all the gods of Moab. I like what you tell me about your God. Your God is going to be my God. What a powerful statement from a woman from the heathen nation of Moab. Ruth saw that Naomi's God was different than the idols of Moab, and that Naomi's way of living was better than the Moab way. Ruth saw that Naomi had a relationship with the God of Israel, and Ruth wanted that. And that's a good lesson for us. Do people look at your life and say, I want what you've got? Are we living such pristine lives for the Lord Jesus Christ that Jesus Christ looks at us and says, that another person looks at us and says, I want to know Jesus Christ because you know Jesus Christ. I want what you have because I see something different in you. Or do we look just like everybody else? That's a good question for us to answer for ourselves. Ruth saw that Naomi had a relationship with the God of Israel, and that's what Ruth wanted. And she wasn't going to be dissuaded from that at all. She was going to say, I'm going to be there. I'm going to be with you, and I'm going to worship your God. Naomi's love for her God had such a powerful impact on Ruth that she was willing to leave her home, leave the culture that she had been raised in, give up all she knew to choose the God of Israel. Where you go, I'll go. She had no idea what God had in mind for her as she declared her faith in the Lord. She didn't know what was going to happen. She didn't know that she was going to be in the lineage of Christ. She didn't know that she was going to be the grandmother of King David. She knew none of that. She was just simply wanting to be wherever Naomi was. She didn't know, but of course God did. Neither Elimelech, Naomi, nor Ruth knew what lied ahead of them. And we don't know what lies ahead of us. I don't know what's going to happen to me in the next few months. I don't know what's going to happen to you in the next few months. You don't either. You may think you do. You make plans like you're going to live forever, but you aren't. And neither am I. But they are beautiful examples of the choices that we make, Ruth and her sister. Let's look at all of Ruth's beautiful words again. I think we need to really put the Ruth 22. Where you go, I will go. And where you lodge, I will lodge. Your people shall be my people, and your God my God. Where you die, I will die, and there I will be buried. I've always thought that those would be beautiful words in a wedding ceremony, because it says what really is about marriage. I'll go with you. I'll love your people. I'll worship your God. I will stay with you until death. There are wonderful words, tremendous words for a wedding ceremony. There are words that we need to express to each other. And they express a genuine love of God and the loyalty of another person. But more important than vows at a wedding are the vows each of us make to Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior. Our commitment to Jesus is much more profound than just saying a few words and being baptized. We must live out what Jesus Christ wants us to live out. Daily, we need to declare, today, Jesus, I desire to go where you go. God may have something different for your life than what you think. I remember when we were called to be missionaries in South Africa, our families thought we were crazy. They thought, why would you leave the United States? It's such a good place to live. Why would you go to another nation where it isn't as amenable as the United States? And we said, we're going because we want to share the gospel of Christ with those who don't know it. That seems to be hard for people to get a hold of. You can do that here. Why would you want to do it in South Africa? Well, I won't get into that. There's a lot of reasons. I want to be faithful to the Lord until I die. And that could be any time. My family keeps telling me, how much longer are you going to stay in the pulpit? I said, well, if I die in the pulpit, I can't think of a better place to die. Am I willing to go where God leads, no matter what? I don't know if he has another ministry for me. He might have. But the important thing is, today we choose Jesus in every aspect. Help me live for you, no matter what. Our relationship with Jesus must be personal. I shared with the men's group this morning, talking to a young man, his wife and two children. I told him about the fact that this church is going to be open. And he said, don't talk to me about churches. I'm done. I'm leaving the ministry for good. And he gave me a lot of reasons for that. And his wife was unhappy. When Jesus is real to us, others will see and desire Jesus for themselves. Let's read where Ruth's choosing God led her. She had no idea where she was going to be led. She had no idea what was ahead of her. The scripture says in Ruth 2, 23, 2 and 3 and 17. I got to tell my secretary to make those words a little bigger. Ruth the Moabitess said to Naomi, let me go to the fields and pick up the leftover grain behind anyone in whose eyes I find favor. So they go from Moabite back to Jerusalem, back to Bethlehem. And now Ruth is the only one there. Naomi said to her, go ahead, my daughter. No, it's no longer daughter-in-law. It's daughter. So we see how that relationship has grown. She went out and began to glean in the fields behind the harvesters. So Ruth gleaned in the field until evening. We don't understand that these days, but gleaning in that day was hard work. You had to follow the harvesters, and if they left a few strands of barley, you could pick those up. There's actually gleaning today. Thousands and thousands of pounds of food is gleaned, but not the way Ruth gleaned. It's gleaned with modern machinery and sent to people who really need it. So Ruth found herself out in the field gleaning. I don't think we'd do so well gleaning today. Ruth chooses to submit to whatever God had in mind for her. And that's a real step. It wasn't easy. Her submission looked to me like hard work. And sometimes our submission doesn't look that way. Ruth willingly went out to the fields and worked hard through the entire harvest season to gather food for her and her mother-in-law. Gleaning back then was very, very hard work. We don't understand it. In our modern society, we still glean, but we do that with machinery. When we choose to say yes to the Lord Jesus Christ, that is just the beginning of our life with Him. Gwen and I have been in the ministry for 60-some years, and we've been led to places that we would have never, ever thought about going on our own. After that, we have a daily, even hourly, choice, either to submit to Christ or not to submit to Him. Some of you here this morning have lost a loved one, and you're wondering why. I don't know why, but God does. Just because we are Christians doesn't mean we are excluded, number one, from work or from the loss of loved ones. But all the while, please understand, God is at work. It's hard for us to see that, but God is at work in every aspect. Ruth chose to submit to God, and God worked in a wonderful way for her. God directed Ruth to the right fields at the right time, and He told the harvesters to purposely leave some of the grain, some of the barley that they were harvesting, so that she would be able to pick it up. And she did. Because she was faithful in submitting to God, she ended up marrying a man that God had chosen for her, and we're going to talk about him next week. He was a kinsman redeemer. That's a really important thing, a kinsman redeemer. We have a kinsman redeemer. His name is Jesus, and He is our Redeemer. We'll learn about Boaz next Sunday. Don't miss it, because it's tremendously important as we close out the book of Ruth. Boaz and Ruth had a baby, and thus Ruth became the grandmother of King David, and in the image of our Lord Jesus Christ and Savior Jesus Christ. But this baby was a blessing to Naomi, because Naomi said, I'm bitter. God has taken everything away from me. But this little baby born by Ruth basically was on the lap of Naomi, and she spent a great deal of time raising this child. And it restored her in a marvelous and purposeful way. We don't know, but I do know that if you choose to submit to the Lord Jesus Christ, all things, big and small, work together for good to those who love God and are called according to His purpose. God will bless if you will choose Him and submit to Him. He will bless beyond anything that you can imagine. The entire book of Ruth shows us that God is working in everybody's life. We cannot know or fully understand how God works, but He does. And we can know the heart of God because He's at work in your life. It makes no difference what you're doing or what you're thinking or what you're involved in. God is working in your life. It took the death of Naomi's husband and two sons for God's plan to work out in Ruth's life. It's amazing. I know I've used this illustration of Jim Elliot and four of his friends who went to wanted to minister to the Aka Indians. I think I used it this morning in talking to the men. This took place back in the 1950s. The Akas were a vicious tribe. These five missionaries in their 20s were warned about what a killing tribe this was. But these five men, all in their 20s, began to fly over the Akas in their little yellow aircraft and drop food and other gifts, hoping that they would win their attention. The Aka seemed to respond favorably, and in time the five men landed their little yellow airplane on a sand dune and decided they would visit with the Akas. But their hope didn't last long, because all five were murdered, killed almost instantly by the Akas. But the Akas didn't understand how God was working. They came and killed five missionaries. The entire Christian world was in shock. What was God doing? But the end of the story is that God was working. This happened in late spring as Christian camps were held that summer. I attended a lot of those camps, by the way. And here's what happened. Literally hundreds and thousands across the country, young people chose to give their lives for Christ and to go around the world as missionaries. It was probably the largest number of missionary recruits ever seen. God was working. Lives were given for Christ, and hundreds and thousands of young people became missionaries. That was in 1950. This is 2025. We haven't had anything like that since. Those missionaries are getting old. Many of them have already retired. What are we going to do in the next few years for missionaries? You willing to be a missionary? You willing to leave your nice home, your good job, and become a missionary? There are plenty of mission enterprises that you could be involved in. If you have any kind of background educationally, you can become a missionary. Even if you don't, you can become a missionary. God was working. Five lives given for Christ turned into hundreds and thousands of new missionaries going out for Christ. So God is at work in all things. All things work together for good to those who love God and are called according to his marvelous purposes. So this morning I would ask you, are you willing to be a missionary? Are you willing to do something different for the Lord Jesus Christ? Probably not. But maybe the Holy Spirit has worked on your heart and on your life, and you would be saying, hey, Lord, if you want me somewhere else, I'm willing to go. If you want me somewhere else, I'm willing to go. No amens. No amens. So that's kind of the way it is. Maybe you could get a little yellow aircraft. And by the way, almost every one of those Aka Indians became Christians. The wives went, by the way, and shared the gospel with those Hawk Indians. And almost to the person, they became Christians. It cost five young men their lives, but not only did the Aka Indians become Christians, but the many missionaries that were sent out to preach the gospel of Christ as a result of what those young men did. And if you read the journal of one of those young men, it would make you cry. They were willing to give their lives because they loved the Lord. What about us? What are we willing to give because we love the Lord Jesus Christ? I can't tell. I can't answer that. You have to answer that for yourself. Our hymn of invitation this morning is My Savior's Love. So let's be standing as we sing that together.